10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Socius is here out here in my mad science laboratory. I got old Cultus in Dublin on here. How you guys doing? I hear wind in the background.
Thank you, mate. Just had to plug everything back in because I nipped outside first, mate, but you're too quick for me.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I had a crash there. Apologize to everybody out there. Skype just... ever since somebody else took over, seemed to like to crash a lot, and it shut my system down. I had to do a cold boot in order to get it fired back up. But here we are.
Yeah, wouldn't be the first time, won't be the last, I am sure of that.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a bit, just about aggravating. Well, I had several things in mind to talk about today. One of which was them pop boats. Yeah, you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and I found a link for you. I just chucked it in our group chat there.
Cool. Anyway, I'll try to get back in all the chat rooms. I was up in all the chat rooms and then went to push one button and everything locked up and I had to crash it out. So now I'm not in. I just now got back in the Shaziz chat room, I think. Unless you want to throw that in there for me, that'd be nice.
Do that, buddy.
Alright, anyway, one of the things I like about those boats is the simplicity of it. A lot of the old toys have really good science to them. That little pop boat, it's a little boiler is what it is. And when you run it around using the candle, it heats up the water, turns it into steam, and then pushes the pressure out the other end and gets the little boat moving. And then in the same process, a little bit of condensation builds up between the cold water and the heat, and actually keeps the thing fed with steam. It's a pretty impressive little gizmo there, man. What do you think?
Yeah, no, man. I mean, it's a sort of a great example of old school technology, isn't it? You know, well, just simple little concept can produce, you know, enough energy to get the little boat just, you know, cruising around the bathtub there.
A lot of the little toys from the past, like I said, do you ever remember seeing the little submarines that you put a little dash of baking soda in there and then the boat would go up and down?
I can't say I ever had one of those.
Yeah, they came in cereal boxes way back when, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, it was a little submarine, and you put a little dashes of baking soda in the top, and the chemical reaction of the baking soda would cause the boat to go up and down in the water. It was pretty neat.
Cool.
Anyway, there's a lot of old toys like that, and so if anybody out there knows of any old toys that do anything like via steam or solar or any kind of little scientific thing, pass them on to us, because a lot of times by revisiting old style toys like that, you know, like the steam engine's a perfect example. They still sell those miniaturized steam engines and Stirling engines as well. And so with that said, there's a lot of antique ones you can buy off of eBay that still work, and you can actually still get parts for a lot of these things. They're nifty for hobbies, but what they're also good for is to give you some sort of general idea on how to actually build a large-scale version. Like, say, if you want to make you a wood-burning generator, you know, you get a hold of a permanent magnet electric motor and build you a little steam generator, there's a solution for you right out of the gate. What do you think?
No, that's definitely a good idea, mate, and you know, I've often pointed out to friends that a steam engine would be a perfect little additive to any bush property. You know, you'd be able to extract heat off it. You'd be able to rig it to extract electricity off it. You'd be able to boil your own water. So you'd have a hot water service included in the model there. You know, you pretty much endless possibilities there for extraction of different kinds of energy, isn't there?
Yeah, and they have wood gasifiers as well. So there's so many different old technologies that we can use in worst case scenario. And that little pop boat has had me thinking ever since, because of the method by which it works. I believe that you could actually do one that where you could use solar, you know, the heat of the sun beating down through like a miniature Fresnel lens or whatever, to actually build you a generator that would basically float on water. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's, I think, totally achievable.
But, you know, it's, like I said, little simple ideas like that really brilliant solutions can come up out of there.
Sometimes some of the smallest and simplest ideas can turn out to have the greatest impact, can't they?
Yeah, I'm just now logging into all the other chat rooms, so I'll try to paste that link into...
I've got it in got it in the Shizzy's Radio and also Awake Radio's chat room there, so.
Okay, I'll try to get it into Scotty Sovereign's then. Oh, wow. Gotta log in. My computer crashed and logged me out. Anyway, so if anybody out there knows of any old style toys, try to send me a little bit of information about that, because I'm really fascinated. I didn't know about the old Pop-Pop toy until a friend of mine came over, and he had a book on chemistry that was back from the 1800s. And some of the things that they were working on back there, this chemistry book even showed how to make hydrogen back in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's certainly not a new concept at all, is it?
No, it's not. And that's one of the fascinating things about this. A lot of the technologies that we keep talking about, you know, we're not rediscovering, or we are rediscovering it. I mean, we're not discovering it straight out of the gate. It's already been here.
Yeah, it's not something we're coming up now, just now and inventing. This is something that's just, you know, been around for a long time, and it's just, you know, sort of coming to light now. Well, there is alternatives, there is other methods, and, you know, some of them are extremely simple.
Yeah, no, it's the simple ideas that I like the best, because those are things that we can do with just junk laying around. I just now put that link into the Scotty Sovereign's site for the Pop-Pop boats.
Look above it.
Huh?
Look above it.
There's another link in there?
Beat you to it.
Oh, you beat me to it. All right. Well, that's good. Coltus is on the job. Anyway, yeah. That little boat could go into a larger... You could actually scale that up to a full-size boat. I would really love to see a full-size boat made with a little mini boiler like that. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that'd be, you know, pretty cool little boat to putt around in a bay or something up and down the river.
And it's not beyond the realms of possibility that a person could build one of those. I mean, heck, you could modify it. The Canadians have been making them with, like, multiple ports instead of just the two little lines that you see coming out. They'll have, like, 7 or 10 of them coming out.
Okay.
And so these things will get a little faster, and they keep the boiler the same size, but they put more outputs on the thing.
That's interesting.
So if you get a chance to Google up or get on YouTube and look up the Canadian Pop-Pop boats, and you'll see some of the nifty innovations that they've done with them.
Well, I can actually supply a link to everybody of one person who has one with several little ports on the back there, as you're describing. So I'll just nip through and quickly dump that through to everybody. So there you go, boys and girls.
Well, I see a lot of possibilities with that thing. And I was thinking about, you know, making a solar one. Anything that's dark-colored paint will attract heat, so... If you could build one with like either a dome shape or a sphere shape deal where the sun would hit it no matter which direction it was spinning in, you could use that to focus the heat down. Like, let's say you had a ball, and then you had a series of Fresnel lenses all the way around this thing. No matter which direction it spun in, it'd always be facing the sun, so you'd all continuously be getting heat on there and boiling the water inside that ball. You could make a generator out of this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And
why would be anywhere near impossible?
Obviously, you don't want to get your magnets anywhere near heat, because the heat would mess up the magnets, but there's methods by which you could actually keep the magnets away from the actual hot spot without keeping them... You know, without them getting too hot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, see, I've actually never owned or even seen myself one of these little Pop-Pop boats. So maybe you can explain what the whole little filament is there in the middle.
Well, essentially, it's a really simple concept. All you have is, let's say you take one solid tube of copper, and in the middle of it, you know, you real carefully bend a coil in the middle of it, and then you got the two that are going out. So what they do with these things is they fill them up with water, and then they put them down inside the water that they're going to run it in, and they put a little candle under there. Well, the candle heats that water up that's up in the little coil section of it. That's the boiler portion. And yep. Some of them actually customize little miniaturized little tanks for the boilers. So there's a lot of different ways by which you could do it, but the simplest method is just to coil you up some copper tubing and having two pipes go out the back. And then they'll run them underneath the boat, and being that the pipes are down in the boat, it'll keep that portion of it cool while the boiler stays hot, and so there you get the reaction between the steam and the water being sucked back in, and the condensation keeping the steam going inside this thing.
See, yep.
So there's a good simple concept. I'd like to see us put together a contest to see who can build the most innovative pop boat, or
a boat build off.
Yeah, or actually take and build a wheel using the pop boat theory, it's not a theory, it's a fact. I mean, it works using the pop design. Some of them call them puff boats, so there's two different names for it while you're out there looking up ideas on YouTube. But making a wheel and getting this wheel to turn in a circle in the middle of a bucket. You see what I'm talking about?
Yep.
So if anybody's interested out there, maybe we can get this thing going and do some build-offs, which would give everybody some ideas on some really cool stuff to make.
Definitely. I'm watching this little putt-putt now scream around this little this guy's sink. These things definitely get up and boogie, don't they?
Yeah, they're pretty impressive. And
this is off, the two-part version. So,
and you know the popping noise that it actually makes there?
Yeah.
There's another video, I'll have to find a link to it, but the guy actually made one that didn't make any noise at all. And all he did differently was put the pipes completely underwater, underneath the boat.
Yep.
And so you didn't get that sound effect. A lot of the folks that are actually building these pop boats, they want to that noise because it sounds like the little engine chugging along.
Yeah, it's definitely part of the aesthetics of the boat, isn't it? To have that little pop noise.
Yeah, but if you think about this thing for a second, you could really seriously use this concept to make a spinning wheel in a pool of water. And actually generate electricity with it, and if you do it right, you've seen how hot those Fresnel lenses can get.
Oh, extremely hot.
Yeah, it only takes 212 degrees to boil water. So you got to measure it out, see how long it actually takes you to get up to 212 degrees. But once you actually get to that temperature. I don't know what it is. It's 212 Fahrenheit. I don't know what it is Celsius. So I don't know the calculation between that. But either way, if you get this thing to spinning around in circles like that, once you get it up to temperature, it should maintain itself.
Yeah, you should have just said boiling point. That's 100 degrees Celsius.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you didn't say that, sorry. I missed it.
Yeah, boiling point. Sorry. I just...
It's 212 Fahrenheit, and I believe it's 500 Kelvin, is it, off the top of my head?
Not sure, man. But...
Miles off. It's 373.15 degrees Kelvin. Oh, shame on me.
But think about this. If you can get this thing to spin a wheel in circle using the sunlight, once you got the thing up to actually generating, you could switch the heating elements into an induction heating style coil. And the induction heaters don't need as much amperage as a regular element would need.
Yeah.
So,
true.
Imagine if you had the right material like they use for the pots and pans for the induction heating. You know, when you get those little induction heaters, there's a certain type of pan you put on there, and the moment you put that on there, it begins to boil the water inside there.
Yeah, well, that's just got to be a closed-loop coil, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's effectively all that would have to be.
So if you made the pop-pop boat style, and then underneath it had a induction element, and then this was all connected into a generator that would put energy back into that coil right there. Worst case scenario, it'd speed up the boiling from the sun. But best case scenario is it would keep the boiling going even after the sun went down. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's just another little idea there, but you know, there's like I said, there's a lot of old toys like that, the old steam engines, Stirling engines. I bought a Stirling engine off of eBay, and it has a little built-in generator on there. So the concepts are there. Anything that can be made on a small scale can be scaled up or scaled down. Muddy has built a little Stirling engine out of coffee cans. If you get a chance to go onto his site and look up his coffee can Stirling engine, he's really meticulous about how he put it together, and he did a really fine job on it.
Hey, Muddy does some fantastic work, doesn't he?
Yeah. So anyway, that's one of the many ideas, and on Shaziz Radio website, I put a picture up of a electric pulse engine that I designed probably at the very least 12 years ago. It could have been 15, far as I know. It's been a long time, but either way, a lot of people are making these solenoid engines now. Have you seen any of these yet?
Solenoid engine. Is that the one you just recently linked up on the radio website?
Yeah, well, it's essentially that's what it's like, but there are solenoid engines out there on YouTube that are, they're similar, but they're not exact to what, I'll send a link into the chat rooms for those folks that hasn't got a chance to see this yet. But anyway, this is an electric pulse engine that uses a flywheel that goes around and kicks a bunch of solenoids that turns a dual overhead cam system. Okay, let me, I'm being slowed down here by everything I'm trying to accomplish. I'm sending this link into all the chat rooms, and then I'll send it into Skype. But pop that up and take a look at this. It's a pretty amazing little deal, and I'll explain to you how it actually functions. Can you throw that link into Shaziz Radio?
Oh, I certainly can.
All right, now when you're looking at this thing right here, you got it up, Coltis?
Oh, I do.
All right, when you're looking at this thing, you see there's a flywheel system going on here. And around each one of them is a magnetron. Every time one of the magnetrons pulses, it fires two of the solenoids at the same time. And, of course, it's timed out to where, like, on the top, you'll see the one on the left goes, and then on the bottom, you see the one on the far right goes. And they're all in sequence. Every time one of those magnetrons pulses, it fires two coils at the same time. And this would be the equivalence of a V16. If you go on YouTube and you Google V8 solenoid engine, then you'll see an actual working version of a solenoid engine. But this one here is essentially that, but it has the actual charging system instead of using like they're doing on their versions. This one here, you'd have a motor underneath it that would be running the flywheel, and then on the top, you would actually have a wind turbine that whenever the wind is coming over the hood of the car, goes down in there and helps the flywheel move faster. So the faster you go, the more wind pressure you shove up into the hood scoop, the faster that flywheel will turn.
Okay.
And you can adjust the speed using either a variac or a motor controller for the motor that's actually turning the flywheel.
Okay.
So what do you think, man? When you're looking at this thing, what do you think?
I'm looking at it. I'm still a little bit bedazzled by it. But
it's actually a really simple concept. The charging system, which is the flywheel that has all the magnetrons around there, essentially two-part epoxy resin and some magnets makes your flywheel.
Yep.
And you can either buy the coils or build them yourself. It's nothing to it. The U-shaped coils seem to work the best. And so with that said, you can put two coils on one U-shaped core. But every time one of these things pulses, and you keep in mind that if there's one magnet on there, it'll pulse one time per cycle, two magnets two times per cycle, and so on down the line. So the reason why I have so many magnets is because I want it pulsing almost continuously. And it would be happening.
Little gray wheel in the middle there, that's the flywheel you're referring to, isn't it?
Yeah, the little gray wheel in the middle with all the little squares on it, those squares are the magnets.
Yeah, now I follow. It looked like it was sitting still before, and it's all good.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
Well, you can actually see it's like a moving schematic. It shows you when it's firing.
Yeah.
And it's got a dual overhead cam, course, and then those the red lights that you see down there would be so that if these would be plug and play style coils, that way if one of them went bad, you know which one was bad.
Right? Yeah.
Because if it didn't light up, you replace it.
Hmm. Yep.
Anyway, it's a real simple idea.
It is.
And these things, I believe that, you know, it's just like a cordless drill. Those things are pretty doggone powerful if they're geared correctly. You know, electric motors can have a lot of torque.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't take much at all. Just a little bit of ratioing and...
So, we still got Dublin here?
Believe we do.
Yeah, I'm here. I was just listening in. You're doing great stuff there. I just thought I'd say, on the subject of steam, what's very interesting about steam is it's very efficient below 10 horsepower, or it's very efficient over 600 horsepower. But in between that, it's not so good. That's why you tend to find the piston engine tends to be the more efficient between 10 horsepower and 600 horsepower.
Okay.
And then after that,
So those sections, those points were by which you're talking about, they become inefficient. What if you took the old style steam engine and kind of combined it with hydrogen technology? Because you know that once the steam is actually built into, once the water is actually flashed into steam, you can separate it, the hydrogen and oxygen, and ignite that at the same time. So you could actually build a steam/hydrogen deal that would, because hydrogen puts off a lot of heat when it burns.
Oh yeah, I'm not sure because I know the problem that they had with cars when they made steam cars in the 1930s, and some of them were remarkable machines. I mean, they you get tremendous torque. Once you're going down the road at a certain speed, there's a kind of a system to switch off a lot of the steam going to the engine, and so you're only using 30% steam. The piston doesn't fill up with steam on the full cycle, and it's enough to keep you going at your typical full speed of about 60 miles an hour for that time, which was quite fast. And but the big problem they ran into is, as they got bigger, it was to recondense the water. And they had to start turning the whole car into a condenser, like in between the doors and panels and between the boot, and every part of the car had to be turned into a condenser. And this was the brick wall they hit with steam in those days. Now, you can make hydrogen by passing steam through iron pipes, cast iron pipes, or gun barrels. That much I do know. There might be more efficient ways nowadays because we got more knowledge of catalytic reactions and various other things. So, yeah, it might be possible to get a 10-horsepower engine to then generate, say, 30 or 40 horsepower. And you got to remember, the average car doesn't use that much horsepower when it's doing about 60 miles an hour. It's around about 40 horsepower, 30, 40 horsepower, depending on the size and the weight of the car. So, I don't know. I mean, there's lots of ideas there that need looking at. The only thing to bear in mind is if you're using wood as a fuel, you need four times as much weight in wood. For example, if your car has got a 100-liter fuel tank and that weighs, say, 80 kilos and gets you 300 kilometers, you're only going to get 100 kilometers and the same weight in wood, or you're going to need four times as much wood or coal or whatever it is that you're burning. So
yeah, but there's
these are factors to bear in mind.
There's a method by which you could actually avoid having to even use wood at all, because if you used a little bit of electricity in order to actually start boiling the water, once you got the pistons up to the right temperature, you can use the engine block itself to actually create the steam.
I must admit I'm a great fan of steam. Unfortunately, I don't have a lathe or equipment that can make a nice 10-horsepower steam generator. I mean, a 10-horsepower steam generator would be great for generating the power for your house.
I tell you what, mate. Stay tuned to my YouTube channel over the next couple of weeks, and I'll teach you how to build a steam engine from a two-stroke engine.
Cool.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, that would be cool, because then you don't have the machining problem.
All you basically need is a solenoid type valve to control it. And a reed switch. You've already got the timing already there with the magnet that's on the flywheel that was originally there for the high voltage transformer for the ignition coil. So everything's already there. All you have to do is find some pieces to connect it all up with through the spark plug port. And I've actually got it half built already. I've just got to stop being lazy, go get the parts, and finish off the project. So I'll do that in the next couple of weeks.
Sounds good. A small two-stroke steam engine would be great for a lot of houses if this power outage for any period of time. Because I looked at how much it costs to run, say, a 2 or 3 kilowatt generator, and they're using, the small generators are using like a liter of fuel an hour, or close on it. And that's crazy money for each kilowatt. That's crazy money.
Well,
lots of houses have access to tons of wood or forests or whatever, which will fuel them for a couple of months if there's an outage.
Well, though, there's another method, and that's gasification. And that would literally take a handful of wood chips and would power it for a couple of hours.
You're back to, you still need four times as much weight in wood chips.
No.
Weight of fuel as per some other fuel like oil.
Not with a gasifier.
That's with gasifying. It's still...
I've got guys on my forum who have been working on gasifiers for a number of years, and they would seriously argue this to the death with you. They've got them rigged up on the back of their trucks, and they get mile per gallon that far, far outweigh that of what they had on petrol.
Well, back on the steam engine
must give thanks to these guys, because my intel is certainly from World War II, when they were doing gasifying of cars, they were only getting typically 100 kilometers to a load, which would be equal to about a fuel tank.
I can't actually give you a topic ID off the top of my head, but if you head over to the iaec.forumco.com website, and have a trawl through there. You should be able to find the post around.
Hey, Cultus.
Okay. Wait for you. Yeah, mate.
On that steam engine that you're talking about building, how hard do you think that it would be to actually modify the head of that engine to actually accept two spark plugs inputs as opposed to just the one?
I don't see it being overly difficult so long as you can machine the head on the inside. That'd be the hardest part. You'd need to extend that. You know how they got a little cavity there?
Yeah.
Like a little sort of, yeah. As long as you can machine that out a little, I mean, if you're, you know, stuck and you had no other option, I suppose you could sit there with a handful of sandpaper and go nuts over a couple of weeks, but, yeah, you're,
Well, the reason why I say that is because back in the old days, the farmers used to, whenever they got their tractors up to operating temperature, start injecting water in there. And so if you got this thing started with initially steam, right? And yep. Then you turned around, and as the steam was being built up inside the piston there, you could actually fire in some high voltage and ignite that steam into hydrogen.
Yep.
So I think that if you was to drill and tap a hole for an extra spark plug, and it wouldn't have to be exactly like the initial spark plugs, you could actually probably modify one. And basically, once you started it off with steam, got it up to temperature, once the operating temperature's up and it's actually creating steam inside that piston, and you time it out the same as you would normally, you could actually ignite that that hydrogen inside that piston using high voltage.
I can see that happening.
And with that said, that would make modifying any little Briggs and Stratton engine for any generator to run off of water really simple.
Yeah.
So you started off pressurizing it with steam, and then once the steam is up and running, the actual cylinder, the heat in the cylinder itself would keep the steam going, and when it's in the steam form, you know, that's why they always tell you never throw water on electrical fire, because that's what happens. You get a hydrogen explosion.
Yeah.
So with that said, I'm gonna get a couple little engines myself and see. I want to follow your YouTube. That way I can see how you're doing it, and then throw a few tricks of my own in there with it, and see if we can't get one to actually run hydrogen on demand using those two concepts together.
Cool. Sounds like a plan, buddy.
So I'd like to see out of this particular show right here, I'd like to see a contest get together, a build-off for the pop-pop boats. Now, if we can get those pop-pop boats, which if you've watched any of the videos, you notice that they kind of like put them in round barrels so that they can get them to go in a circle, or some of them put little rudders on there. But if you can build a wheel that would set down in the water, and I would like to see one of them using solar heat, you know, just the sun alone, and then, you know, one of them using like little candles in order to heat these little boats up, and see if we can get a wheel to spin in, on top of the water.
I could see with the Fresnel lens set up that you could actually build everything on the wheel, direct your output, like the pipes, out on a certain angle that would push the wheel around.
Hey, Cultus, do you have a link to your your YouTube? Because Alan in the I think Scotty Sovereign site would like to have a link to your YouTube.
Yeah, no worries, just
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's all right. What was that?
Finish what you were.
Yeah, if we had with the wheel idea, if you had a Fresnel lens there pointing down, and you had a certain, like you'd have your pipes coming out of the actual wheel itself and aimed at a certain direction, the Fresnel lens pointed onto your little boiler, which you'd have, say, sitting in the center of the wheel, you'd get that thing getting up boogieing, I reckon.
Yeah, I think you're right. And if you make it like a brass ball or a copper ball or even a stainless steel ball, you'd have that, it would be facing the Fresnel lens at all times, so you would be continuously getting heat with it. So I believe, you know, by making a sphere in the center of it and keeping the Fresnel lens focused down on that sphere, no matter which direction that sphere is in, you'd have constant contact with the heat from the sun on it.
Mm.
What do you think?
Is it? Yeah. What are you thinking?
So, with that said...
Guys!
Go ahead.
If you don't know, have any of you looked at superheated steam?
It's been quite a while. What do you got in mind?
Yeah.
What do you got in mind?
A lot of people are not aware that superheated steam can generate tremendous amount of power for short periods of time, like 3 or 4 seconds. And there's drag cars which they fill up this tank with water. Well, not fully full of water, a little water. They boil it, and under huge pressure, and they can generate 6,000 horsepower for 4 seconds. Quarter mile race.
And I think I know why that happens, Dublin. I think I know why that happens. For the same reason those farmers used to use inject water into their tractors is because the heat can actually ignite the hydrogen as it's being separated.
I don't know if that's the case. It's just the sheer pressure of steam at some, 30 atmospheres or whatever it is, coming out in a small nozzle at tremendously high speeds, supersonic speeds. Let's put it this way, if you build a rocket, the rocket will go to 30,000 feet. All you got to do is put a big fire underneath the rocket and get the head of pressure up, and then you open the valve and, the rocket shoots up to 30,000 feet. Now, that's the cheapest rocket you're ever going to get in the planet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple technology, and yet you can get to 30,000 feet with only a load of wood burning in the back garden, So, superheated steam is a very, very interesting and very, very powerful form of power that we might be ignoring. There might be some way of tapping into that and getting other things which might be useful for us, like production of power in the house or something, build up the head of steam and then turn a flywheel or something like that. I don't know. I'm just saying that superheated steam seems to be very, very cheap and very easy to do.
Well,
once
you've
got a good, strong, pressurized container, you build up the super pressure.
I think that by using all these things in conjunction with one another, see, I'm always talking about not putting all your eggs in one basket, because there's all kinds of different things that nature provides for power-wise, We could actually use this same system with a wind turbine on the top of it, so that even when the sun wasn't out, the wind would still be spinning it. So you'd have a combination of solar, thermal, electrical, steam, and everything working all in conjunction with one another, plus a little wind power to actually assist in turning this thing. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. Well, there is another technology. I don't fully understand exactly how it works, but apparently big electricity stations are looking at the idea of when the exhaust heat is coming away from whatever supplies power, whether it's oil or gas or whatever, if they fire it down the exhaust in a certain way, they can get a positive-negative reaction, and they can generate electricity from the exhaust pipe. I don't quite know exactly how it works, but I presume it's on the fact that as the exhaust goes down the pipe, it's probably at a very, it'd be like, the way when hydrogen is stripped of its electrons, it's very high level of a positive level, and the pipes, if they're negative, you can set up some sort of electric current, and apparently they can get back 10 or 20% of the power that's being lost out the exhaust pipes.
On that note, the thermal couple is also something to take a look into as well, because Thermoelectrics is good until you get past a certain temperature, but if you put it in this system in the right place to where, like say where the actual pipes are touching into the water, to where the temperature only gets to a certain degrees, then you can get an electrical charge. They use thermocouples in all the furnaces to turn off and on the thermostat whenever, like, the heat box gets up to a certain temperature. The heat to the thermocouple is what sends electrical charge down in to tell it when to shut off and turn on. So that's a pretty good idea. You could use the thermoelectrics in conjunction with the steam and the solar and the wind all in one, and build a self-contained generator that will run continuously. What do you think?
Yeah, it's, we need to get on all these ideas, but I do like ideas where you take an already existing two-stroke engine and you convert it to steam, because, on the subject of double spark plugs, the old VW car engine, the flat four, they used those in aircraft, and they routinely made an aircraft, they always have two spark plugs for each piston as a backup.
Well, there you go.
The old VW engine was modified to run with two spark plugs.
There's a good bit of knowledge right there. So while we're looking into this, we actually need to look into those old VW engines and see how hard it is to actually modify one.
Well, it shouldn't be that difficult. You can buy the cylinder head off the shelf, the twin ones, if you don't want to go to trouble. But also the most popular engine they use for aircraft these days is the Rotax two-stroke engine. It was originally an agricultural water pump engine, and it was very reliable. So they started converting those over to aircraft use. And again, they supply cylinder heads with two spark plugs for microlight aircraft use. So that could be more interesting than having to figure out how to machine out a cylinder head.
Well, if you can track down some links, and get those to us, we can do a little bit of research on there. And when Cultus does his video on how to turn one into a steam engine and so on and so forth, we can actually try to combine all these ideas together. See, I think we're on the right track here.
Oh, yeah. See, it's always easier to keep things relatively simple. I mean, most mechanics can whip off a cylinder head and put on a new one with two spark plugs. It's not a big job.
That's
and
Brent.
What'd you say, Cultus?
But I mean, that has to be a good reason.
Just said it's simple. The only tool you'd really need is a torque wrench.
Yeah, exactly. All you need is a torque wrench. And there has to be a good reason for why you need two spark plugs. Like, will the second spark plug be igniting the hydrogen or something? I don't know.
Well, actually, one of them would be to send the steam into the piston, and the other one would be to ignite the steam into hydrogen.
Just using it as a tap point, and then, like, because Shaziz will be taking my little steam engine idea a whole step further.
Yeah.
So, and as it stands, I'm already using the spark plug hole as a tap point for the injection of the high pressure steam. So his idea then is to add a second port and use that as a for the spark plug port. But Shaziz, what we might be better off doing is making. Leave the spark plug hole and keep the spark plug in it, and make a separate tap in the head for the injection of the steam, because then you just get away with a couple of brass fittings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you're coming from, and that would be a lot simpler. It'd be easier to tap that way.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have to worry about alignment or putting the spark plug too deep or anything like that. You know, where if you put it too deep, you'd be smacking the head and smacking the piston into it and things like that. You don't have to worry about any of that. You just have it nice and neat. Job done.
Well, if we can make this happen, you could modify really simple any existing gasoline engine out there.
Well, so it works with a two-stroke because of the pre-existing intake and exhaust pipes. The exhaust and intake ports. If it wasn't for the actual design of a two-stroke, things would probably get a little bit more complicated.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Because it's already there for it to compress and release all by itself.
Yeah, well, this is where the Rotex engine comes in. The Rotex engine is good up to 100 horsepower, 150 horsepower, which is the same size as most car engines, but it's still a two-stroke engine.
Let me get a little crazy here. So what if we took and combined all this technology? We combine the little two-stroke steam engine and the solar deal using the pop-pop boats, the design from the pop-pop boats, and a little bit of wind power, so that you literally had a machine that would float on the water. It would spin around in circles, producing hydrogen and steam and a massive amount of torque. What do you think?
Hard to know. Quite a lot of technologies there, all wrapped into one.
Said he was crazy. He did warn you.
Yeah, but yeah. Think about this thing for a second. You could have it into a small pool of water, and if you got this thing up and running, I mean, it would maintain itself from the heat of the engine to the wind power to the solar power. This thing would scream in a circle in that water pool. It'd be ludicrous how much torque you'd get out of it. And you could make any heavy object float. You know, you just got to have the right buoyancy with it.
Yeah, positive buoyancy, air cavity, etc. You can We can make things float. That's how they make big metal ships float now.
So, we got our work cut out for us. There's a whole lot of stuff here on the table. I'd like to see a pop-pop boat built off. That way people do like they did over in Canada. They took, Canadians are cool because when they do stuff, they take it to extremes. You know, they weren't satisfied with the little single exhaust pop-pop boat. They wanted to go to multi-ports and make them faster. And they did it.
Yeah, well, I figure we'll just say to our listeners now that there is going to be a pop-pop boat build-off. But stay tuned for further details, and we'll nut them out during the week. This is exactly what we're going to do.
Yeah.
What ideas. And being involved with the Pulse Motor build-off just recently.
Maybe we can even work out some prizes for the winner.
Yeah, I'm sure we can do the same as was done for the Pulse Motor build-off, and certain people will come forward and donate prizes, and you and me will chuck in a little bit ourselves. And
yeah, so let's make it like this. It's easy to build a pop-pop boat. That's the easy part. What we want to see is a wheel in the water using multiple pop-pop boats that gets this wheel to spin in the water.
Or pop-pop system. It doesn't necessarily have to be a little boat attached to the wheel.
Yeah. Yeah, all it has to do is be able to spin a wheel in the water somehow, using the heat.
Using heat and, the pop-pop method.
And so, you know, with that said, we got a lot of cool ideas. I like the steam engine. I'm looking forward to seeing that video when you get that thing done. And plus, I'm going to be working on some myself. I'm going to go out and pick up some old used two-cycle motors and see what I can come up with.
Well, I had my camera alleviated from my possession during the last week, someone came and nicked it.
Yes,
very sad. But there is already another one on the way. But I do have my old Fuji POS camera here. It's not the world's greatest, but I'll do a little video tomorrow for you of how far along I am and what my actual ideas were on the little steam engine there that I've got, and I'll post it up on my channel for you tomorrow so you can have a squiz at that and get a good feel
All
exactly
right.
where got on what I was going to do.
Well, we got a project here by which everybody can participate and send their ideas in. And even if you ain't got the capabilities of making a video, you could interact with us on the videos that we put out on YouTube in order to put your ideas on the table there so that we can use all these things in conjunction, because the listeners out there might have the missing piece of the puzzle. Like that pop-pop boat design, I never even knew it existed until this man showed up at my house that I had met from a alternative energy convention. And he showed me a book that was made back in the 1800s that had chemistry in it where they were using hydrogen and everything else. And it was a really fascinating book. But he told me about that boat, and I did a little bit of research on them. And those things are pretty impressive. You're using just a little candle to create a little steam reaction that pushes this boat around. So in my mechanical mind, anything that creates motion is a potential generator. You see where I'm coming from?
Yep.
So.
Very. And we just had Buddy join us.
Oh, all right, cool.
Oh, howdy, howdy.
How you doing there, brother? What do you think of this conversation?
Oh, I've been listening from the beginning of it. I was sitting here thinking, my goodness, you're talking about toys and you didn't call me.
And hey, Buddy, there's also, I got somebody who wants to get in contact with you over your actual flux generators, too. So hopefully we'll get you two hooked up.
All righty, yeah, just post me his name there in Skype. That way I know not to ignore the contact.
Well, his name's Justin.
Trying to show me something else.
So, what do you think about the pop-pop boat design and what we're talking about here?
Well, I think it's great. I like that multi-tube one. That thing was pretty nice. It was hauling. I like that. I'm sitting there thinking of all different ways I could make that chain, man. So I put a little solar panel up on top of that sucker and spit it into HHO and shoot, I'd use that for the candle. It would have nothing but solar, then the heat from the HHO firing off the boiler, and yeah, that'd be pretty neat. As long as the sun's out, you're hauling.
You do realize, buddy, that HHO will pretty much melt anything it comes in contact with.
Yeah, that's nice.
Just so you know, you'll end up with a little melted pop-pop boat at the bottom of the water.
That's all right. The thing is, see, it only lets in water just so fast, right?
Would have gone on the clappers for a couple of seconds anyway.
Well, I think
when it turns to steam, there's nothing else to turn to HHO, and more pops back in real quick.
I think by adjusting where the actual boiler is as opposed to how much surface area you have in contact with the water itself, you can actually get to a fine point in there where you can regulate the heat to where you can even use hydrogen where it wouldn't even melt it up.
That's right. Yeah, we were talking yesterday, late this morning, we were kind of talking about putting a big old magnifying glass on there. You just have to kind of turn it. As you turn your boat, though.
Well, that's why I was talking about the boiler being a sphere shape. That way you could, no matter which direction it was facing, it would never lose contact with the sun from the Fresnel lens like Cultus was talking about.
Yeah, but you need something as big as a Fresnel lens to focus it down. It's going to have to be a pretty big one.
Well,
down, because just the ball itself won't collect up enough heat.
I don't think so, because, you know, when you used to take little magnifying glasses and burn sticks or bugs, remember when you did that as a kid? You could use that same concept to keep heat on that thing continuously. And one thing about heat is you can take the smallest flame in the world and you can build up the heat. Now, it'd take you a lot longer to get the heat up to deal, but once it's up to operating temperature, that little small flame is enough to maintain that heat. As long as you don't
have enough surface area to bleed the heat off as you're putting it on there.
Yeah, and so if you had a closed-in system to keep the wind off of the ball, you know, like a dome.
Yeah, put it in a vacuum tube. Yeah, put it in a vacuum.
Well, there's another possibility.
You know, like those, like them solar vacuum heaters. Yeah, that's pretty neat. You put the water in there, evacuated tubes, I think they call them. You got the water in the center one, and it's black, and then you got another glass tube over the outside of that, and they put a vacuum between them.
Well, guys, have you ever done that experiment where you fold up paper and you put water into this folded up paper thing, and then you can boil water using paper, a paper container? Because the water...
It's not going to melt the container because the water's there and won't let it get up to burning temperature. We used to fill our 7-Eleven coffee cups.
Is anybody in the chat room on Scottish Sovereign site?
Yeah, there's a good handful of them.
Okay, Jock put a deal in there. I'm not understanding exactly what he's talking about. Does anybody understand what he said? Does Shaziz know how to get free Leckie rechange the provider?
Leckie electricity, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're working on it.
The gas with iron heater.
Yeah, you climb the pole.
Well, you know that every wire out there puts off a magnetic field. You can take your little AC tester and you can walk out there underneath your power line and you can see how far that your field actually extends off of there. So
yeah, well, you can wind a coil and put you out a length of wire and put it parallel with the wires in somewhere. As long as you got 60, as long as it resonates and peaks at 60 hertz, you're going to get something.
Yeah.
You can rectify it, but you have to leave a little bit of a coil to keep it, you know, going back and forth and everything. But, you know, it's got a coil in the antenna. You got, I mean, a quarter wave for 60 hertz is miles and miles and miles long. So, yeah, you've got to have one heck of a coil and then a good length across there for it to actually absorb. Kind of like there was an antenna called the Sturber curtain. It had rhombic propagations. Rhombic antenna is the only antenna that had a propagation named after it because it has such a low takeoff angle. So on a Sturber curtain, what the deal is the dipoles were set up half wave above each other and then swapped, kind of like you see on a logarithmic antenna. And the thing is each stack up there brings the angle down. You can sit there and run your... In other words, it's how much space are you disturbing before you transmit, and the same thing on receiving. How much area do you have to collect from? Which is, you put it in light, let's say it's a Fresnel lens, you're collecting over that surface area. That's how many watts of the sun you're collecting. Not the focal point, you know. It's it all takes it down to the focal point. So, yeah, the Sturber curtain idea is basically, it's like a huge fly swatter. I mean, that it really picks up. You can tune one of them to 60 hertz, yeah, you probably get more than 120 volts out of the bad boy, so.
Well, I think that using all these things in conjunction with one another, I think we're doing a really good job here, putting all these things down on the table. I need to put a form on the website there to where we can actually pop these ideas in and put them out there in a list. You know what I'm saying? Like for everything that we've talked about today, a list of all the different things that we want to try to put in conjunction with one another to actually build this generator.
That'd be awesome. If you get enough of them solar tubes or big enough ones there, yeah, you might be able to run a Tesla turbine steam engine, and that ought to kick real nice.
Yeah, and you can get a lot of torque out of those.
Yeah, it just takes about 15 minutes for it to turn to boiling, but heck, it'll keep on boiling as long as the sun's hitting. You don't need a Fresnel lens then.
So anyway, once the actual engine that Cultus was talking about building gets up to temperature, that's going to make it a lot easier as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you take all these pieces of the puzzle and put them together, there's no reason why we can't build a simple generator that people can build with off-the-store-shelf type pieces. Now, like Dublin was talking about the Volkswagen heads that they used to modify for little ultralight airplanes. That would be a good bit of research to find out where those heads actually come from.
What was it? Mexico City.
Mexico City.
Yes.
Really?
They were there for years and years. VW got sold and sold to one place to another, and Mexico City wound up with all the molds and everything for the VW Bug, and they didn't change a thing. I mean, one year is the same as the next year to the next year to the next year after Germany let it go. And if you got into a cab in Mexico City, it was a Volkswagen. Then finally, the mayor of Mexico City here about 4 or 5 years back decided, nope, I don't like bugs. I hate them. He illegalized them for taxis. And so basically it pretty much shut the plant down, and they sold off what they had left. And I heard somebody else picked it up, and but I bet you can find, I bet you can still find quite a bit of heads for Volkswagen down in Mexico City.
The only grievance that I ever had with the Volkswagen was the heating system inside there. When it's brand new, you get a little bit of heat, but it takes a while because it actually works off the exhaust, but whenever it gets old, then you get exhaust fumes up in the car. So, you ever rode in an old Volkswagen and you could smell the exhaust fumes?
Volkswagen is still made, or was being still made in Brazil up to recently. I know that they're just finishing the last production line on the old VW microbus. If you're into those old fashioning, they're doing 600, and once that's finished, that's it. They stopped that production of that one. I think they stopped the production of the Bug a while back.
Do they have any Volkswagens in Spain?
Go ahead, Dan. Yeah.
Hey, Dublin?
Brazil is the place where you can probably still buy a brand new Volkswagen car engine and all the bits and bobs to go with it.
Dublin?
Heck, I'd say buy the old ones. The cool thing about the Volkswagen microbus is it had the same engine that they put in a 914 Porsche.
Oh, the pancake motor?
Yeah, I had a friend down in Hollywood, Florida that rebuilt like 3 or 4 of them a day on his bench. He quit school and told his mama to quit work, and she had no problem with that.
Dublin.
Learned a lot about Volkswagen.
Dublin. You still there?
Go ahead.
Do they have any Volkswagens in Spain?
They're pretty well gone now. You've rarely see any of them. It was Mexico that picked up the Volkswagen, and then after that was Brazil. And I think that's it. When Brazil stopped production, it won't be anymore.
What about Australia, Cultus?
What's that, mate?
Do they got Volkswagens in Australia?
Yeah, we got plenty of them, mate. Over here, we've even got a game that goes along with it. When you see one, you punch your mate as hard as you can in the arm. You go punch buggy and call out the colour.
Oh, you guys do that too? Yeah. We call it slug bug.
Man. Punch buggy, that's like the best game ever.
Yeah, I got socked in the jaw by my brother once.
Nah, throw me in the arm.
Yeah, well, my brother, he's crazy.
I was always down there with somebody punch me in the arm, make me drop all my pieces.
Ah. Oh, wow. See, it's a small world.
Young just wind up with the sorest arms.
My brother goes, slug bug red and socks me in the jaw. And I'm like, what the heck?
Did you ever play corner shizzies?
Play what?
Corners. Oh, I used to like it because I had a mate who was a fairly hefty bloke, and I'd always get him to sit in the middle. And whoever was on the far side, mate, poor them. And we'd go around the corner, and I'd be leaning up against me big mate, and he'd be leaning like right into my mate, just about killing him. And then we'd go the other way, and my mate would like hold back for me. So I'd be sitting there looking at the other guy, and the other's like, oh, you promise, mate, he's not that heavy.
Well, that's good. I got a friend who's 300 pounds, so when you come here to the States, you'll get to be the guy in the corner.
You know the trick? You know the trick?
What's that?
Just as they go to lean into you with all their force, you quickly lean forward, mate, and they fall over and smack their head on the door.
All right. Well, we got a lot of fun ideas along with a lot of good ideas.
That pro-molly frame, and that means lots of strength and light. They're great for making electric cars out of. You can get one of them old electric forklift motors and stick it right to the transmission. And all you need to do is buy the controllers and stuff like that and stick them in and some batteries. Man, them Volkswagens are pretty efficient for electric cars, especially for a U-build.
Well, I got an idea, Cultus. What if we take and extend this pop-pop boat motor contest and we make it to where you have multiple things that actually run this? You know, like the more alternative ideas that you can add into this thing, the better. So, like, if you're using a Fresno lens, if you're using candles or wind assist at the same time, like on the top of your deal, you got a wind turbine so that when the wind's going, that it also helps to assist the little pop-pop motor to actually spin the wheel. Multiple ideas for one project. What do you think?
Sounds good. We're going to have to sit down, though. We're going to work out some proper rules for this. And probably see if we can't find ourselves some independent judges as well.
Can we power it with thermite?
Jock asked me if I said pot. No, not pot. Pop.
Hey,
P-O-P.
Give me a pot, bud. Bring it to me. You'd be my best friend forever.
Yeah, you'll have a lot of friends. There's an old saying from the 60s, a friend with weed is a friend indeed.
That's the one.
All right, well, we're not talking about weed. We're talking about alternative energy.
Yeah, alternative medicine.
Yeah. That's another subject for another show.
Yeah, you'd have, next thing you know, you'd be having people calling in saying they had a close encounter of the seventh kind, you know.
Yeah, but hey, you know, if you
flying around ricocheting off the walls, you had to be there.
If you want to run your pop pop boat off a hemp, that's cool too.
I want to put a log under it. That's what I want to do around the lake all doggone day. The only problem is when it's time to stop, you gotta rejet that steam somewhere besides the water.
Yeah, but that's the kicker. We don't want to stop it. We want it to keep rolling.
Yeah, just smack into the dock. That'll work.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you get a once you're on the back, that'd be sweet.
We can, while it's smacking into the dock, use the piezoelectric effect to actually generate more electricity.
That's the
one. I want to get me an aluminum canoe and try it with that. I think that'd be sweet.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. Actually extend this from a micro-sized pop-pop boat to an actual one you can sit in.
Yeah, and you put the fire up there in the front of it, you know, a little bit of insulation to help preserve the boat. You got all that length for the pop-pop to generate.
Well, you could use a rocket stove.
A little bit of bamboo off to the side with, I guess, a couple 2-liter bottles to help balance the boat real good. And just go, man.
You could use a rocket stove.
I can see it now. You'd be nice and cozy around the fire. You could put the kettle on the fire.
Yeah.
Get there with a sausage on a stick and cook yourself some lunch.
You could
down the river with a fishing rod out.
You could use
You drag that lure off the back, you take that first fish, and you fillet that bad boy. Clean it right there. Just sling it out.
Hey!
Thank you, buddy.
Oh, you talking shizos?
Yeah, you could use a poor man's rocket stove to heat your boiler in your canoe.
Hey.
That would work, and I could put a set of ape hangers on it.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, I'll get the ones off my kangaroo, man.
Ape hangers on a kangaroo. What's the world coming to?
Yeah, the pop-pop chopper canoe, Bubba.
All right, so we're going to make pop-pop canoes that you can actually ride around in, and we're going to have a contest to see who can make the best either micro-sized boat or full man-sized boat that we can actually get to go using this technology.
Well, you know what? If that is possible, I've been watching a few like Discovery Channel shows and that recently of these guys who live out in the middle of the bloody ocean. They're considered as like ocean gypsies, you know. And then these guys, they're literally like, you know, they got themselves like some really antique little freaking outboard motor, and they've like, you know, used milk bottles and stuff, and like literally just totally rebuilt these half a motor they found on the side of the beach one day, you know, just rebuilt it using just other crap they've found on the beach. I figure these guys would like, you know, and other people in less fortunate places in the world would be able to use these quite efficiently.
I think you're right. And it'd be pretty simple to make. I mean, all you need is some pipe.
Half inch pipe, make a coil, where you go.
Yeah, go to shore every now and then, pick you up some trash.
Yeah.
Pick you up a log, some sticks.
All right, so we got a second contest coming in line. Okay, we're going to do the one on the pop-pop boat. Now we're going to have to do one where you go out and you raid your nearest junkyard and you make something good out of junk, something useful. Even if it's a lawn chair made out of old PVC plumbing or galvanized pipe, something useful. Make you a set of ape hangers out of some old pipe. A pogo stick out of some old air shocks.
Let's aim for the pop-pop comp first.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, then we'll turn the lawn tractor into a dragster.
Yeah, yes. There you go. So anyway, we got the electric pulse engine. I don't know if you did. You get a link to that V8? Oh, doggone it! Solenoid engine.
Yeah, I got that one.
Can you send that link into the chat room for everybody?
Oh, let me go take a quick look for it. I'll be right back.
All right, while he's looking for that.
Chazzy's, I'm trying to put up a link for you guys. It shows a stove with fire in it. And somehow, in some unknown way, he's generating electric power to drive television and the various other electronic components. But I can't seem to get the...
It's thermocouples.
Probably. Yeah. It's a YouTube, and the name of it is... let me just get the name up to you there. Free Energy 12 Volts. That's 12B. Free Energy 12B and then /50W. So that's 50 watts.
Well, I see multiple ways.
You ever see these 12-volt coolers that the truck drivers use? They plug into their cigarette lighter. That's got a couple in it that it works off with heat sinks on both sides. And the thing is, what they do, they just stack a bunch of them suckers, then put heat sinks on both sides.
It's called a Peltier element.
They got it on the side of the stove, and one side's getting cooled, and it just generates electricity.
It's called
really
a Peltier.
It's
called a Peltier element. That's inside those coolers, the igloo coolers, like you plug into your cigarette lighter. They work like a heat exchanger. When one side's cold and the other side's hot, it produces electricity, like the thermocouple. So those Peltier elements, you can salvage them out of old 12-volt electric coolers.
Hey, Doc.
Well, what I need to do is I need to sign off and come back to you in 5 minutes because... maybe that'll clear up, and then I'm able to put the link up on the Skype.
Sorry, Doug.
If you want to look it up anyway.
Well, I've got the link, but I'm just going to point out one thing real quick, is that if you ever come across a free energy video that has no description of what's going on and the comments are disabled, chances are the video is full of crap and there's nothing going on except for a scam. That's what I'm...
Yeah, we look at the likes and dislikes, too.
Well, also...
Hey.
But also, I have seen people using those Peltier elements on wood-burning stoves. Wait.
Yeah. Nah, you can most certainly use a Peltier-applied gas to your life. But I don't think that's what this fella here's got going on.
So, anyway, so now we've got multiple different things to talk about here. You can get them Peltier elements you can recycle them out of old coolers, or you can actually buy them online. Chances are you'll probably find them on eBay. You can find a good source of those. One thing about those things is you can use them in just about multiple circumstances. Like, if it's wintertime outside and you stick one side to the glass in your house, and the other side has the heat from your house, you can use that heat exchange right there to actually produce energy to charge batteries and such.
Yep.
So, where we go from here?
Although the Peltier device was actually invented for the space shuttle. For space travel. The main deal is the wall of the space vehicle, it gets hot. Yeah. And they had to put they'd absorb some for the electricity with the solar. They'd sit there and put that right back in there, and put the juice to the Peltier device, which was a full lining of the wall, and whichever side was facing the side, it would sit there and try to put cold inside, so they wouldn't feel heat from one side of the craft and cold on the other.
So how does the wall get hot? Muddy?
The wall gets hot by the sun out there, and there's nothing to bleed the heat off.
Okay.
Because you're in vacuum.
But on the opposite side...
Same thing as those evacuated tubes.
On the opposite side, wouldn't it get cold?
Yes.
So you wouldn't want to stick your...
It works kind of like the Stirling engine. You can turn the Stirling engine and get one end hot and the other end cold, and then when you stop, it'll keep on running until the heat differential changes. Same thing on the Peltier device. I remember having a cooler, and I used it for a while, and if I unplugged it from the battery, the fan was still going for a while.
So...
it was neat.
If you're in space and one side of the ship is facing the sun and the opposite side of the ship is facing the cold vacuum of space, you wouldn't want to stick your tongue on the cold side, right?
No. And then the hot side.
Then if you did, you'd have to like turn your ship face the sun so you can get your tongue off.
I don't want to touch any part of that spacecraft, especially in the back.
Oh man! Hey, that's why they call it mad science, man.
That's right. Yeah, you'd have to be mad to do that experiment.
All right, so when we go into space, don't stick your tongue on the wall of the ship.
Yeah, or the windshield.
Or the windshield.
Yeah, or the windshield. Don't stick it to the windshield either.
All right. Well, we've
very top. You need to see to avoid a meteor. You know?
Yeah, micrometeorites. We've came up with a lot of ideas. So the next thing we're going to be working on, the first thing I guess, would be the pop boat contest. We'll get all that information together and get it started, because I think that particular little technology could be really useful. I mean, it's simple technology.
Yeah. Most certainly. I think it would be a fun little project to work on as well.
Yeah, and I'd like to see all the different ingenious ideas that come up out of there. I mean, like I said, the Canadians, they took and they put multiple ports coming out of that thing. And... So, you know, when they do stuff, they like to go to extremes. Hey, if this thing works going slow, let's see how fast we can get it.
Yeah, no point throwing things in halves.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that gets me on it. Well, the tubes are pretty long. Okay. On that speed one, they had several tubes. and, you know, they tried to get more power. Well, they got a percentage faster. It didn't really, no matter what configuration they used, it didn't change very much. The only thing I didn't see that they did, the only thing I didn't see them do was change the diameter of the pipes for more acceleration.
Well, that's and a possibility,
thing,
too.
When it shoots out, then it has to suck water back up into up to the top when it goes through that cooling process, because it oscillates back and forth. Why not have it take it from the top off another tube with a valve? That way it only lets water in at the top, and then it stops it and just keeps boiling and shooting it out the bottom. When it comes to the vacuum point, it'll suck some more water to the top instead of sucking it up the same tube and cooling that tube.
Well, you know, Muddy, yeah. If you give away all your secrets, you're not going to win the contest.
Oh, I don't care, man. Shoot. The stiffer the competition, the better the competition.
Yep.
So I'd like to see a solar-powered pop-pop boat using Fresnel lenses or magnifying glasses or something to that extent. I'm going to do some research myself to see what different types of materials will retain heat. We all know that a car tire, the rubber from a car tire, will retain heat, but would it retain enough heat to actually boil water? That's the question.
No, very doubtful, just on its own.
But maybe if it did, maybe if it didn't retain enough heat to actually boil the water, maybe it could actually speed up the process. You know, like in the bottom of your pop-pop boat, before the lines actually go into the water, you have that to maintain it, to keep the water, or keep the temperature. Put a, like in the water, it's going to be the coolest. On the rubber, it will be warm, and in the boiler, it will be hot. You see what I'm saying? Where you don't have that drastic temperature change going on.
Well, that could go one of two ways, really, couldn't it?
Yep.
You might want that abrupt temperature change to make what happens. So you may want that for the reaction, but hey, that's what science is all about. We test and see, mate. Test and see.
Yep, see who comes up with the best idea.
I look at this. If you've seen them top-notch Stirling engines, they got a bunch of cooler tubes. I mean, all wound up. It kind of, if you're looking at it from the end, it kind of looks like the windings on a golf cart motor.
Yes.
I mean, they're all right parallel with each other. And the main deal is for a lot of surface area with a little bit of liquid. That way, it heats up fast. And so there's a little bit of liquid in each one of them tubes, but in order to heat up a bunch, they got a lot of them little tubes. They're all organized in there, so as the fire runs through it, man, it is absorbing heat, and works real good that way. That's the main deal. It's how much wattage you have going in, for how much wattage you go out. You drive for the best efficiency and a little tuning on the size of your pipes.
Hey,
I mean, you get a lot.
Here's another idea as well. What if we combined the pop-pop boat with a little electric motor to where when the boiler gets up to temperature, using a Peltier element would actually run the motor as well?
Yeah, that'll work.
Well, think about it. You're using that heat for two separate purposes.
I just want to put a little bit of thermite on the bottom down there, you know, and put water on the other side of it, you know, so it can't boil through. It just lets the water go, you know, keep on going. It just flash boil the fire out of it, man. We'll go 100 mile an hour, man. You just bounce, lose the skier off the back, you know.
All right.
Just kind of jump at waves like a ski-doo, Bubba.
We don't want no flaming docks, so we don't want no boat screaming towards the dock and burning down the deal there.
I thought you said you didn't want it to stop.
Well, you know, that we could use that extra force of the crash to generate electricity for as long as it'll last.
If it gets going fast enough, man, well, you still got a little bit of water in there. We just put the wings out.
Fly right over the dock?
Yeah, then you got to get back in the water to suck up some more water pretty quick.
Oh, man. This has gone the heck in a handbasket.
It's like they say in racing, man. It's not miles per gallon. It's gallons per second.
All right, so
how many gallons can you in 1 second get you across that finish line quicker?
Where'd Dublin go? Oh, that's not right. Sure. He was going off to get a link.
Yes. He bailed and coming back.
All right, well, we're getting down close to the wire there, guys. So, right. You got any more ideas?
He's muted.
I got something very important to say.
Alrighty.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. Don't everybody talk at once. I mean, we don't need dead air going on.
It's been a bit of a giggle sesh tonight, hasn't it?
Everybody pop out your YouTube channel so folks can know how to get a hold of you, and we'll get these videos out for these contests and everything.
Well, we also there?
Yeah, go ahead, Cultus.
Yep, lost up. Sorry, I just noticed we had a problem with the call. So, you can all find me at youtube.com/desert experimenter. And, Muddy?
YouTube.com/user/muddymuddymudman/again videos. Yeah, I don't get very many channel views anymore. I'd just rather just go check out the videos, man. Learn how to make a Stirling engine out of junk in the trash can. You put a fan blade on it and put a candle under it and blow your incense around. Or out of dual permanent magnet rotor axial flux wind turbines, the most efficient in the world, in my opinion. Easy to make, anybody can make them, and how to turn a ceiling fan into a doggone wind turbine, tape drive motors, treadmill motors, and just about anything you scrap on the side. My idea is to make sure that nobody has to pay, $7,000 for a wind turbine when you can build it for a few hundred dollars, maybe like $500 or $600. Because industry tries ruining you. What they try to do is get you to buy their commercial deal that says 1.5 kilowatts or say 1.6 kilowatts to give them a little bit of grace, but it's got a 5-foot prop. And if you look at the available power in the wind, it takes 36 miles an hour wind. How many days of the year do you have 36 mile an hour winds? So if the winds, the power in the wind goes up by a factor of 8 every time you double it, and let's say we get away from that 36-mile-an-hour wind and get down to 18 miles an hour. Oh, my goodness, you're only doing 200 watts. And you get down into 9 miles an hour or 10 miles an hour, where your average wind generating is. It's kind of like the leaky faucet it collects up. But you get down to there, what do you got, 25 watts? And you paid how much for this? Because it's at 1.6 kilowatts. Well, that's why I say build it yourself. Put a little bigger prop on the stupid thing and have it furl out early, and you'll have a pretty even flow of electricity, and you don't have to worry about some guy, when the hail comes or when the wind picks up and your blades swing off like little torpedoes and stuff because they're cheap, made in China or something. Matter of fact, just for a little note there, people in China don't want Chinese wind turbines. They want American wind turbines. Because they're built like a Harley Davidson, made to last. You can turn all the bolts on them. Matter of fact, you probably do every week. But the thing is, you can go to the parts store and get your parts. You don't have to wait for some guy to come in on a plane during the SHTF situation. You just go down to the parts store and get your parts.
Well, Muddy,
put it back together. Set her back up.
If you live in Tornado Alley, then that shouldn't be an option. That shouldn't be an issue. Or Typhoon City.
You live in Tornado Alley, by gosh, that ought to be the thing. I mean, heck, if a tornado hits the thing, it's gonna. If it hits the ground, so what? You bust a prop, you carve another prop, maybe you bend a rotor. So you go down to the parts store, get another rotor, put it back up. You don't have to spend a few thousand dollars anymore. That's why I say it's best to build your own. I like building my own.
I agree.
And anyway, all the videos on there for tutorials on that, and I'll just hand it over to y'all.
Well, and with that said, Dublin doesn't have a YouTube channel, I don't think, but he's a wealth of knowledge, so if you can get a hold of Dublin on Skype there. You still there, Dublin?
Yeah, I do have YouTube, but it tends to be more political. But if you want to go to it, it's DC Bourbon Ireland.
Well, send a link into the channel there.
Yeah. It's www.youtube.com/user/ whatever you want to call it, DC Bourbon Ireland. Bourbon as in the drink, DC as in Washington, D.C., and then Ireland as in Ireland.
All right, well, you're going to have to...
There's a link for you.
All right, cool. I'll have to... Everybody go over and subscribe to Dublin, because he needs viewers. He's political.
Yes,
I like the political stuff, man.
So do I.
A lot of my shows get geared
toward... Well,
I'm
a political scientist type, you know.
The main deal, I mean...
All right, Dublin, I'm going to your YouTube right now.
What got me into politics is, yeah, I mean, we make thousands and thousands of scientists every year, and yet none of them did anything useful like invent flight or invent a car that runs on water. So that's why I got into politics, because it had to be politics was stopping them. They were getting them to make better paint for the car or nicer comfortable seats, but they weren't changing the car from being a four banger into something that ran in water, which is what we need.
Kind of.
If you're on the ocean, you never run out of fuel then, right?
Mm. Yep. Well, apparently the American Navy is doing that. They're using seawater now for fuel. Mm-hmm. Although that's supposed to be hush hush.
Best.
I mean, it's logical. I mean, if you've got the sea and that's your fuel, well, then you never need to stop to be refueled. That gives you a military advantage.
Yep. Yeah, my deal about political setup is all men are equal and all men are brothers. Why are the rich more equal than others? Don't ask me for answers. I only have one. That a man leaves his evil when he follows the sun. That's about it. I've been gearing more on the political deal here, trying to stop the stupid wars and the crazy stuff on my shows. And, you know, all my songs are pretty much geared toward it, and I try to make the, you know, where it's good listening and stuff, and the shouts out. Yeah, that's something else I want to put out there. Not getting very many shouts from people here lately. It's shoutitfromthemountain24@gmail.com. You got something you want to say to the world so the whole world can hear it? Just go to shoutitfromthemountain24@gmail.com and just type it in, or send an MP3, or drop a link for a video and make an MP3 of it, and it'll go on my show.
Yeah, and if for some odd reason you can't get your message through, throw it in the chat room over on Shaziz Radio or Wake Radio or any of the No Borders Radio or any of the networks there, so we can get it as well. Or call us up on Skype. Where'd everybody go?
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, mine's real easy. It's Muddy Muddy Mud Man. You type that in and spell it correctly, then you can get a hold of me.
All right, and all you got to do is Google Shaziz, and you'll find my YouTube and website and ShazizRadio.com. And then if you got anything you need to talk about or a project you want to work on, you can contact me, same username on Skype, made it simple so everybody can find me. So with that said, guys, we're getting down to the wire down here. Appreciate the information, and Cultus, we get that deal together, we'll have to think of some prizes to give out to individuals who win the contest.
Yep.
And
1 year supply of those snacky crackies with raisin bits.
Are those healthy?
No.
No.
They taste good. And free.
All right, so with that said, I'll go ahead and just throw on a couple tunes and stuff, and we'll just end the show that way, and everybody have a good one. Peace and love, everybody.
Yeah, good. Thanks all.
Take care.
Hasta la bout.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Frontier. These These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
They travel through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Turn off the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They cast an image of imagination to the door, to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes, with the children of the sun, they started to climb. The Queen. cheeks. All mirrors and steel
Radio, deconstructing the dream world, one lie at a time.
You didn't think it was going to be that easy, did you? You know, for a second there, yeah, I kind of did.